Welcome to the Loans on Demand podcast, the show where we flip the real estate status quo on its head and put loan officers into the driver's seat. We give you all the tools, strategies, resources, and mindset needed to modernize your mortgage business and thrive. My name is Luke Shankula, aka Longform Luke, and this is the Loans on Demand podcast. Hey, what's going on? Welcome to the Loans on Demand podcast, the show where we help loan officers flip the status quo on real estate agents and put loan officers in the driver's seat. And I'm excited for today's episode because today we have Tyler Hodgson. I think I said that right. He's the Executive Vice President of Growth at U-Mortgage. His company's been on the Inc. 5000, I think 3 years in a row. Welcome to the show, man. Glad to have you.
Yeah, no, thanks so much for having me here. Excited to be on today. And yeah, it's going to be a good conversation.
Awesome, man. Well, give me a little background, who you are. You know, what has you in the industry? What's keeping you in the industry? And, you know, just who is Tyler?
Yeah, I mean, quick background. I'm a Marine Corps veteran. I was in the military and getting into the mortgage industry, I actually kind of fell in it like everybody else. I was applying for my VA loan, trying to use my VA loan for the first time. I got denied for the loan, but got offered a job. I got offered like an accounting and finance admin position for a small mortgage company. And then ultimately they convinced me to get my license. And I never pictured myself as a salesperson because, you know, I went to college for accounting, went to the Marine Corps to blow stuff up. So like, you know, none of that really has to do with mortgages or real estate finance. But yeah, ultimately got licensed and realized I'm actually passionate about sales. I'm passionate about mortgages and the home buying journey. And I love real estate. And so, you know, things just kind of took off from there. And after a short period of time, I'd closed 12 loans to my name and decided I'm going to start my own brokerage. I'm going to do this myself. I know everything there is to know about writing loans. If you can close 12, you can close any. And started my own brokerage, started growing a team, adding more loan officers and growing over time. As you mentioned, probably one of my favorite like accolades is, you know, being on the Inc. 5000 list and doing that 3 years in a row. So we grew really rapidly. And I've just loved and enjoyed the challenges of business and growing a team and seeing my team, you know, grow and succeed as well. And just kind of the journey I've had as a leader. And so here we are and continuing to learn and improve every day. And yeah, I'm happy to talk about anything today. Mortgages, you know, social media, marketing, sales, leadership, productivity, time management, accounting, CPA. We could talk some CPA stuff if you want.
Yeah, yeah. We'll bore everybody with the accounting stuff. That sounds like a great idea. Just kidding, man. But no, seriously, what I was kind of interested to learn a little bit is, do you think that being in the Marines helped from the perspective of, you know, you talked about time management, you talked about leadership. Like, do you think that played a part into, let's be honest, 12 loans and starting a brokerage, which is already like a ton of work that is outside of origination, right? You have to do call reports, you have to do licensing, you have to worry about all that kind of crap, and you close 12 loans. Yeah. So how do you think that being in the Marines maybe had some impact on the way you show up, the way you lead, the way you sort of run your day to day, or does it have any?
Yeah, well, even before I was in the Marine Corps, I was always very like disciplined. I was an early riser. You know, I like to just get stuff done and organized. I think the Marine Corps just like put all that on steroids and emphasized everything. So yeah, I would say after the Marine Corps, it just continued to like, I just want to accomplish the next thing, do the next task. I did learn a lot of leadership principles and stuff from the Marine Corps. I saw both great leaders and leaders that I did not want to be like. I almost learned people that you're like, yeah, I don't like that person. I've all had bosses and stuff in the past. Well, like the Marine Corps got a lot of them. So just you get a lot of life experience too. I mean, in a few short years, in your late teens, early 20s, you're experienced a lot of different life circumstances. And I feel like quickly mature and grow. So when it came to starting my own brokerage and building my own business, I just didn't really have any fear of like failing. Like worst case scenario, I just, you know, have a college degree. I can go back to doing accounting. I've job security and stuff there. I've got some money in savings. So it was like, I'm just going to do this thing and try this thing. And I think I can accomplish and achieve whatever I want. So yeah, I think some of those principles, some of them lived in me already. And then some, you know, grew from the Marine Corps, and the experience of the Marine Corps have definitely contributed to, you know, my success in business and in mortgage today.
Right. Yeah, that's cool, man. I mean, obviously you can be taught discipline, but I mean, you know, some of discipline comes down to like understanding what you're doing things for. And one of the things I've done to try to be more disciplined, because I mean, I'm ADHD and all over the place and hard for me to like focus and do things. So I have to sort of create habits around, I mean, my morning routines, going to the gym, things like that, because I know those things are going to help my mental health. And so, man, I love that you've been able to learn from that. But leadership, obviously, like growing a team, What I'll say is growing a team has been probably the hardest thing I've ever done. Because prior to me starting my business, I had never led anybody, right? I mean, I worked at Subway and I was a team lead. I guess that's the closest to leading people I got. And I played soccer my whole life and I was a, you know, captain on a couple teams. But from that perspective of actually like, you know, delegating and leading and giving up control and things like that, that's one of the hardest things I've ever done is learn how to delegate, man. So talk me through kind of what that looks like from your perspective. Like, was it pretty easy to sort of do that right away, or did that take some time to develop over time?
Delegating is still like the hardest one for me too. Like,
yeah.
You just want to do something right. You want to do it yourself. And you're so used to doing it yourself. And the reason delegation is so hard is because it does take more time and effort to teach someone else how to do it.
Right. Right.
Initially up front than it does to just do it yourself. But when it becomes repetitive and continuous, then you realize like, well, this is better for someone else to do it. If I train them once, they can do it, you know, many times over. So yeah, I struggle with delegation because I'm just control freak. I like things exact, you know, that military side of me.
Yeah.
So that's something I'm still trying to improve with. And honestly, you know, early in my mortgage career, I was like self-processing all my own loans and like,
oh, wow,
didn't have an assistant. Like, I didn't hire my first assistant until like the end of 2021. So I went through the whole refi boom. Like, I closed over two loans in 2020 myself, like with no processor and no assistant. I was just doing my own loans, you know? And I know there's a couple other, you know, brokers and LOs out there who've been like that. It's like, I was just crushing myself doing it, but I felt more efficient doing that. And really it's a lie.
Yeah, it's a lie
I told myself, but it took me a long time to like build the trust in someone else to hand that off because it was so important to me. Mm-hmm. And I think as business owners, that's why it's hard to delegate, because we do care about it so much and nobody else has ever care about it as much as we do. So yeah, constant struggle trying to delegate.
So you're one of those mortgage unicorns that is good at the details and also pretty good at sales, because that's not typically a combination, which is why I think the loan officer position is a very interesting position and why a lot of loan officers get stuck in that sort of 2 to 3 loan a month realm, because they're not really salespeople. They should be, right? I mean, I talked about earlier, marketing and sales is like the most valuable things you can learn as a loan officer or as a human in general. If you want to get paid well over the career, like learn how to do marketing and sales, and you're always going to have a job somewhere because companies always need marketing and they always need sales, right? Like, how do companies grow? And so it's an interesting thing, because as a loan officer, you have to be detail oriented, look at all the guidelines, structure things, right? Generally. And then you also have to, you know, be good with people and having conversations and making calls and all that kind of stuff. And it's like hard to find people that have both of those things. And so, like, you know, you just see so many people that kind of flounder because really they maybe shouldn't be loan officers. Maybe they should be structuring deals. Maybe they should be like a, you know, LOA or a junior LO or something like that, that's kind of structuring loans, because they love structuring loans, but they're not so good at getting it. What would you say to someone like that? Like, you know, what are the, some of the strategies that you use to grow? Because over the time, obviously 200 loans closed, you clearly have figured out some things on how to market your business, do some sales. Like, what does that look like in your life?
Yeah, I agree. Like, with kind of the unicorn piece. And when I first started my brokerage, unfortunately, I like built and structured the brokerage based on my profile of an LO. And then I, you know, cause we didn't have a lot of processing. We didn't have a lot of support staff because I was just doing it myself. And so over time we've shifted our team and our company to add more support for the LOs and recognize like, okay, LOs focus on sales activities.
Right.
You go find loans. We'll give as much back end support as we can, you know, and find that happy medium there so you can focus on the sales side of it. But, you know, I mean, I found a lot of success. Like, I still don't picture myself a salesperson. Like, I know I'm a salesperson. I'm proud of it. But when you hear the word salesperson, you just think of like the negative connotation.
Right, right.
Like, oh, cold calling, door knocking, like, you know, this sleazy, like hair slick suit kind of person. And that's like not the case at all. So where I found success is just really focusing on, you know, it's a relationship-based type sales and relationship business. And, you know, everybody who's listening to this has probably heard this a million times, but it's like, you know, relationships and just like having great communication and speed and building your own personal brand and people knowing who you are and what you do. That's all sales and marketing is. Do you know who I am and do you know what I do so that when you need it, there's an opportunity, you think of me. You know, I'm very active on social media. That is my personal brand. That's who I am. And I think anyone connected with me on social media probably has a good sense and a good feeling of like who I am and would trust me to do their mortgage. Like, even if they're mortgage people themselves, they'd probably if they pick one other loan officer to do their mortgage, I hope they would think of me. And that's kind of the messaging I try to portray out there in the public. So yeah, I mean, it's hard to nail it down exactly of like, here's one thing I did to, you know, get successful as a loan officer early on and go from 1 to 2 deals to 4 to 5 to 6 to 8. But a lot of it also just has to do with consistency.
Right? Yeah, that's it, bro. Consistency. I mean, that's the hack that people are looking for is, what's the hack? The hack is, well, you got to do it over a long enough period of time that you actually get good at doing it. And you have to do it for a long enough time people actually know about it, because so many people, like, they may be a good loan officer, but if no one knows who you are, if no one knows anything about you, like, it doesn't matter how great of a loan officer or how great you can structure loans. That's why I say sales and marketing is the most important thing. And you're right. I mean, sales has such a negative connotation because we think about sales as the used car salesman, like you said, the sleazy guy. But the truth is that ethical sales is identifying a problem and providing a solution. That's all sales is, yeah. Right? And so many people are like, no, I'm not a salesperson. I'm an advisor. I'm a whatever. And I'm like, no, I'm sorry, Mr. Loan Officer that gets paid $5,000 a deal. You're a salesperson, because if you weren't a salesperson, you wouldn't get paid $5,000 a deal. I'm sorry. That's just the reality of the situation. Yes, you're an advisor as well. Yes, you're an educator as well. But you're a salesperson first, because let's be honest, like, consumers don't know as well as a loan officer if they should buy a home, right? Like, if you know they have good credit, good income, good down payment, it's a good time to buy a home, right? If you're planning on staying in the home for the next 5 years, 10 years, whatever it is, understanding the situation is what matters. And so many people think the sales is pushing people into products that they shouldn't have. And that's not truth, right? It's identifying a problem. If you're the person that can provide the solution, great. If not, point them a different way. Tell them they should wait. Tell them they need credit repair. Tell them whatever, right? That's true ethical sales. And so I think people just need to shift the way that they view sales as not a sleazy thing, because it's true. Like, we've been conditioned to believe that sales is a bad thing, right? I hate salespeople. Well, you hate bad salespeople is what you hate.
Right.
So I know, like, you do a lot with social media, you know, so when you were first getting started, was it always kind of easy? Were you able to pick up a bunch of deals right away? What did that all look like? Because I kind of like to hear a little bit about the struggles. Maybe you had struggles. Maybe you didn't. I don't know. Maybe you were also a unicorn and you never struggled. I don't know.
No, I mean, I think I got, you know, kind of lucky early on where I met a couple realtors who were newer to the industry when I was newer to the industry. And okay. We're kind of like, you know, young and motivated and hustling. We're all trying to find clients and deals. And we kind of grew together and I was able to help mentor them and teach them the loan side, the mortgage side, and answer their questions. And I've always had a lot of success in, like, newer agents who then become, the more successful they become, the more successful I become, obviously.
Love
and
that.
Loyalty. Now you got to be able to recognize when, like, hey, this agent, like, is just a time suck, or, you know,
right,
not ever progressing, or I just know this person is going to be a, you know, one deal every couple months kind of person. I'm not
right.
Gonna spend time in them as someone who I see with a good growth trajectory. When I first started out, it's like, I didn't know anything about social media. Like, if you scroll back on my social media and look at posts, like, my Facebook is still as posts, you know, memories pop up and I'm like,
crazy, bro.
I posted this in 2009. Like, oh my gosh.
I know, dude.
I just delete it and start from scratch because I don't want someone to scroll back and see some of the stupid stuff I said. But,
well, it's funny because there's a meme that went around that's like, there's no one I have less in common with than the person that posted my post from 10 years ago, bro. It's like such a funny meme. I was like, oh, that's so funny, because I'm like, what the hell was I thinking back then, right? It's like, this is like, yeah, the dumbest stuff. But I guess it's also like, back then it was like, Luke is feeling like this, or Luke is. And so you kind of like post it from that perspective. So it's kind of weird. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, that's funny that you say that, because I talk about my early videos and sometimes I'll show people like, hey, check this out. They're like, oh man, you're so good at video. I'm like, you have done thousands and thousands and thousands of videos. I've been on thousands of Zoom calls. I'm at 113 recorded podcast episodes. I think this is number 114 or 115. I've done a lot of video.
Yeah.
Go look at my video from before. I was like, hi, my name is Luke and I am a reverse mortgage loan officer. I have a real video like that.
Well, what's funny is we're going to look back at even like these, like the poker now, this video now, 5 or 10 years from now, even that was dumb.
Yeah. Man, why did I say so much? Why did I do that? So one thing I do like recently, you've been doing more talking on stage, you know, some of that type of stuff. Like, how do you develop your ability to sort of, you know, get up on stage? Is it, you know, you're practicing a lot, or what does that sort of look like, you know, for anybody who maybe is listening that wants to start to do some of that?
I'm not a good, like, outgoing person. I'm not a want to speak on stage kind of person. I remember, like, a college speech class, like, I would just blush and get red in the face anytime a teacher would call on me, or I'd have to like talk in front of people. So, like, somehow just over the years, by doing more and more and more, I've progressed out of that and got comfortable on stage. I like being on stage for, like, the adrenaline rush it gives when you're like presenting, and like, just, it's that elevated, you know, state.
Dopamine.
Fear, you know, I still get the fear, but also just like after the fact, because it's really about like, what can I give to the audience? What act, what can I do to benefit them? And it's really cool after any kind of presentation, if someone comes back to you and validates that, like, something you told them really meant something to them.
Right.
So anytime after a presentation, and it could be like, hey, I spoke on a big stage in front of a bunch of people and it was motivational or whatever, or even just like, you know, I did a training class in front of a couple agents or a couple LOs and they're like, wow, I really learned something here. And now I'm going to be able to go take that back. Or even just like a podcast like this. Right. And I'm sure you get it all the time. Like someone listens, someone hears, they send you a message, man, I really learned something and I appreciate that. And so to me, that's what has really become like my passion of just sharing knowledge and sharing information and trying to inspire people so that they can, you know, be the best they can be, or they can potentially learn something from me. And so speaking on stage, it's like, you got to take in small steps and small chunks. And I got better because I had to like speak in front of clients. I had to speak in front of realtors, speak in front of my own LOs. Like we had our, you know, monthly team meeting, a weekly team. I've got to present something, get on videos on social media and get on camera and send your clients videos. So over time, you're just going to improve at it. And you know, back to the consistency concept.
Right. You're going to suck at first, to be honest. That's the truth. There's no hack again. What I love about you said though, man, I literally just like a week ago, or maybe 2 weeks ago, had someone jumping on a call with a guy and he says, right as we're getting started, he's like, by the way, your podcast changed my life. I was like, you're just going to throw that in casually like that? Like, come on, man. But you know, it was like pretty cool because, you know, the podcast is a lot of work. You know, obviously I love actually doing the interviews, but getting people booked, then finding, you know, podcast editor and a producer, and then getting all that stuff set up at the beginning, especially, is a lot of work. Now I kind of have a really good system and, you know, it's pretty easy for me. This doesn't take a lot of my time other than, you know, hour interviews or whatever, 30 to 45 minute slots. But yeah, it's a lot of work, but consistency over time. I mean, I'm 113, I think, published, or 110 published. I can't remember exactly where we're at. And so that same guy has gone through like all, basically started at the beginning. I said, why are you starting at the first podcast? I sucked at those first podcasts. And he's like, no, I wanted to see the journey. So he started the first podcast and has basically worked his way up to like 90 something podcasts. I'm like, that's wild. I don't know. I've ever heard of anybody listening to every single one of my podcasts, but thank you very much. So that's what it's all about, man. It is about impact. Let's touch a little bit on your social strategies. Like, what is your sort of philosophy around social media? What do you think makes people attracted to working with you via your social media?
You know, sales is about building trust, right? So we want to build trust. And the only way that you truly trust someone is if you, you know, feel like they're authentic and genuine to you. If you feel like someone's fake or disingenuous, then you're not going to trust them, obviously. Right. So the goal of social media to me is not lead generation. To me, it's brand building and brand recognition. So I want to build that trust over time by letting them know that I'm authentic and I'm genuine and this is who I am, so that the people who want to work with me, they'll choose to work with me. The people who like who I am, they will do work with me. And some people may not, and not everybody's going to like me. And that's okay, because I don't need everybody to like me. So my social media strategy is a lot about posting about just, you know, who I am, what I'm doing, what this means to me, how it makes me feel, ask for other people's opinions. What do y'all think of this? You know, add in my personality and like be funny. And here's what I like. I like the Dallas Cowboys and I like playing volleyball and I like real estate and I like all these things. You know, over time, I think people are just attracted to that. They want to know who you are and it helps deepen those relationships so that when it is time for them to buy a house or refinance, or if they're a realtor looking for a new lender, or a loan officer looking to join a new company, like they think of you and they remember you and they feel like they know you and trust you. The weird part about social media is like, I post a lot, give a lot of information about myself and other people see that and consume that. So they know a lot about me.
Right.
I'll meet someone in person for the first time and it's like, I don't really know anything about them because they post as much, you know, they may comment, interact on my stuff. And like, I recognize their name. I know who they are.
Yeah.
I don't know like personal things about their, you know, I mean, I post about my family, I post about my daughter, my wife, and all that kind of stuff, my friends. And so it is a little weird when you meet in person and you're like, all right, but I don't know anything about you, but you know all the stuff about me.
I agree, man. Parasocial relationships, man, is kind of the term for that, right? Which is like, you know, it's kind of like celebrities, you know, you kind of feel like you know celebrities because basically their whole lives are exposed, right? It's the same thing, right? If you show up online and showcase your life, people literally say, man, I feel like I know you. And like, it's funny, my podcast editor, she'll hear this, but she told me the other day, she's like, I feel like I know you like really well, because like, I edit every single one of your podcasts. I know so much about you. I know when you're going to stutter on a word. I know like what things you're going to mess up on. And I'm like, what? I'm like, that's crazy to think. But it, you know, it's like people start to see that from that perspective. And that's what's so powerful about content. But also the truth is, so many people think that posting business stuff is what gets them business. And I have actually found almost the exact opposite is the business type stuff is the least engaged stuff, the stuff that gets the least engagement, but the stuff that gets the most engagement is family stuff, is, you know, celebrating stuff, you know, things like that. And again, I mean, you know, be authentic, be who you are. And I hate that word authentic because obviously everybody throws it around, but I love the idea of true authenticity. Show up as who you are, because a lot of people show up like as their perfect version, or as like the version they want to showcase as positioning. And I've heard that, I'm a marketer. They say that all the time, positioning. I'm like, I don't care about positioning. I want to showcase who I am, yeah. Right? Like, I want to repel the people that aren't like me, and I want to attract the people that are like me. Because the truth is, trying to appeal to everyone is a good way to not be attractive to anybody.
Right. Yeah, I like that.
So, you know, from that perspective, like, I know you talk about business from time to time, but like, what would you say is kind of your mix of types of content, right? Yeah, you talk about your family, and so do I, right? I talk about my family a lot, right? You posted about the Whoop. I actually reached out to you, was talking to you about the Whoop, because we were both, you know, I have the Whoop. I've had it since 2020, and not a lot of people have it. It's starting to get more popular, but not as many people have it. I'm like, cool, he's got the Whoop. Oh yeah, let's compare notes.
Your recovery today. You're kind of dragging, low energy. You must have had a red recovery.
Yeah. Show me your Whoop, man. How'd you sleep last night? What's your deep and REM look like? You know, that type of stuff. And that's the type of power that you get. And I've built basically my whole business off of organic social media. And obviously we do paid ads as well, but my whole sort of network of people that I've grown over the last 5 years has strictly been social media, which is how powerful this platform is. So from that perspective, like, how much are you doing business stuff? How much are you doing personal sort of just random stuff?
Yeah. So when I wasn't doing social media a lot, a big step was to get to the point of like, all right, I want to post every single day. Right. So if you're not posting a lot currently, at least like make your next goal to be like, I need to post once per day. So I need to find something to talk about and share at least once per day.
Sure.
Now I'm at the point where I'm posting like usually 3 times a day, maybe twice, maybe 4 times. Sometimes like things just start popping up and now it's like hard for me not to post about something.
So right.
This will be such a great post. And they used it so hard. Like, what am I going to post about today? And
it just
like reveals itself to me. The majority of my posts, like at least once per day, is pretty much like, what am I doing like in my life today? It could be as simple as like, oh, I was at Starbucks and, you know, they misspelled my name on my cup and we joked about it. And it was great to see the Starbucks people, you know, like that's just a day in the life. Or, you know, I'm here at this event and connected with other people. So much fun. Like, just what am I doing? Could be family, could be personal, could be a business event, could be at the office. This is funny because one of my LOs shared this yesterday. They're like, well, Tyler's social media is like, you know, he's always doing something. It's just so exciting and my life's boring. And the LO on my team was like, do you know what Tyler's life is? Like, he wakes up in the morning, he exercises, then he goes straight to the office. Then he's at the office for like 12 hours. Then he goes home and like puts his daughter to bed, and then he goes to sleep at 9 o'clock. And like, his life is boring.
Yeah, exactly.
Not doing anything but like going to the office every day. And like, you know, there's still always something to post about or talk about. So you may think your life is boring or mundane or routine, but like, there's still always something to talk about every day. Other types of stuff I like to share is, you know, shout outs and recognition of others.
Sure.
Like, people will engage better if you're giving shout outs of others. Mm-hmm. The other one is sharing, you know, third party validation of yourself. So like testimonials, but not like I created this Canva template of a 5-star review and like,
right.
About me.
Super businessy. Yeah. The super businessy.
Like if I get a legitimate text message or a message from someone, like I'll screenshot that and like post it.
Right.
Like that's the one way I can, you know, humble brag on yourself.
Yep.
But, you know, I try to keep that to a minimum, but you do still kind of have to share those things because it does create social validation of like, oh, Tyler's good. These other people said it.
It's a form of social proof that people don't understand is like, yeah, man, there's a bunch of different types of social proof that you can use is that, you know, proof of upward spiral, like just saying, hey, like a business is growing, right? Yeah. Another social proof is reviews, testimonials, things like that. Or, you know, maybe you got, you know, like the Inc. 5000 thing you talked about, like those are different types of social proof that doesn't have to be directly some sort of like testimonial, right? And people are like, oh, social proof is just testimonials. It's like, no. And truth is, no one wants to see that super cookie cutter Canva template with the freaking 5-star. And like most of the time people don't engage in those things, but they will engage in like a, man, you totally changed my life. Thank you so much for helping me close this loan. Like that's a much better freaking screenshot than like a fancy Canva thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Like if a client texts me and is like, that was badass, blah, 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 blah. Like people engage in that, or, you know, and then I also post, like I keep to a minimal anything that's like news, mortgage guidelines, updates. I do sprinkle those in because like, especially if I feel like it's actually important and relevant, I'm not just like posting it for randomness. I'm posting it because I'm like, I think people actually probably should know something about this, but I've tried to also communicate it in a way that's like, not just
the new conforming limits.
Yeah. Everyone loves the loan limit post.
Everybody loves the loan limits. Like as if anybody even knows what the hell that means, which no one does know what that means, by the way. So if you are going to talk about that, talk about it in a way that actually helps people understand what you're posting. Obviously, I mean, maybe you're posting it for real estate agents. If that's the audience you're trying to post to, they may understand it, but the consumer doesn't understand it.
Right.
I know you're doing a lot with AI as well, man. So talk a little bit about AI, man. Like, I know that's a hot topic. So how are you using AI to, I guess, make your life easier? Like, are you using it in business, personal? What's that sort of look like?
Yeah, a little bit of everything. Probably about 2 months ago is when I actually like finally started like, okay, I'm going to get on ChatGPT. I paid for like the ChatGPT-4 membership like for 6 months ago. $20 a month is coming out of the account. And then finally I was like, I need to start using it. Like, how do I actually start using it? Because I think a lot of people and probably many people listening to this is like, it sounds like a good idea. It seems great. And we kind of talked about this earlier too. Like, I'm sure there's all these uses for it. Like, how do I actually use it? So I kind of made a commitment to myself, kind of tying back to the consistency theme. I was like, I'm going to use ChatGPT every single day, at least once. So like when I log in the morning, I just open ChatGPT, just like open my email inbox and my task list and my LOS. I just open it up and it's like, going to use it for something today. Even if it's something as simple as, you know, help me pick a good emoji for this social media post, or help me write the social media post, or write it longer, write it shorter. It doesn't do a great job always of, it's not going to just perfectly write something for me in my own voice, even though, you know, I created a custom GPT that's supposed to take my voice and my brand and try to write it. It's just not going to do it, but it may give me one extra idea or say something in a different way that I'm like, oh yeah, I like that better.
Right.
I use it for mortgage guidelines. So I uploaded the mortgage guidelines to my ChatGPT and I'll quickly search something there and I can get an answer more quickly. They can be hit or miss if it's truly accurate or not, but it's quick enough for me to know like, oh yeah, I recognize that's legit. I'm not like fully trusted in it yet. Probably the thing I like to do the most is taking videos and just taking the transcripts and upload transcripts to either let it summarize it. So now I can like review a whole meeting that I missed or something quickly, or, you know, write a caption or a post or a summary about this transcription. One thing we've done internally with our team is get all of our like coaching calls and sales trainings and stuff, and we upload all the transcripts to a GPT. And now like you could ask it a question, what's a good strategy for an LO to talk to a realtor for the first time? Oh, well, you know, Tyler Hodgson recommends that you do this. And you're like, oh wow, like it's getting a real answer from expert LO instead of just some generic thing that you may find on Google.
Right.
But again, it's like, to me, is that a real use case for an LO? Like, is an LO going to go in there and like type that in to hear how to host an open house or how to cold call a realtor? Maybe not. So a lot of it right now is just kind of learning and testing, and when can I use it? When can I not use it? Things like Excel reports, I'll just upload Excel or data and like try to ask it something funky with it. Like, can you help me identify this or that, or, you know, certain trends or thresholds or data points, or filter it into some way. So yeah, I'm really just like, at this point, if I can try to use ChatGPT every single day and try some new things here or there, I'll kind of learn what works good and what doesn't work.
Right.
And 6 months and 12 months and 18 months from now, I'm going to be really freaking good at ChatGPT. Just, I'll probably look at what I did in ChatGPT initially and be like, that was stupid. That was dumb. That's
yes.
It's like our posts and our videos. But 2 or 3 years from now, I'm going to be a ChatGPT expert, AI expert. Just, I mean, you know, I say ChatGPT, but, you know, I'm talking anything, you know, within the realm of AI. And there's going to be loan officers and real estate agents that, like, they still haven't created their account and logged in. And by that, I'm going to be, you know, light years ahead of them on using this tool. Like, we know it'll be a good tool. Now it's just kind of learning, what is it best to use for? We talked a little bit earlier, like, you know, from your perspective, what do you use in AI for?
Man, I use it a lot. A couple different platforms. I use Opus Clip. So basically these long form podcasts, I actually upload a long form podcast to Opus Clip. It edits it, turns it into short for me. And so I can post that a couple times a week and I don't have to pay for an editor. It's like, I don't know, $100 a year for that platform. It's not perfect. Again, a lot of these platforms aren't perfect. They're going to have hallucinations. They're going to mess stuff up. But man, a year ago would have been considerably harder to edit a long form podcast. I tried having people find good clips, but it was either like you pay a lot of money to get these clips done for someone who is native to the US, or you have to basically pick the clips for them, tell them exactly what they need to clip, exactly how you want them designed, exactly what the transcript is. And it's like, okay, after all of that amount of time, I might as well just edit it myself. Yeah. So there's that platform. You know, I use ChatGPT almost every day as well. I use a combination of ChatGPT plus another platform called Claude to basically script out my YouTube videos that I've been doing. And so that's been pretty cool. Again, none of this is 100%. I use Claude a lot for my long form posts. same as you. I upload, you know, transcripts and, you know, go at, look at other YouTube channels and see, oh, hey, this is a good script. I like the way they do it. Upload, basically get all the transcripts uploaded into something like Claude, analyze their writing style, analyze their speaking style, and able to use that to basically create, you know, better scripting and things like that. Upload, you know, thousands of viral TikTok clips or TikTok hooks, and then say, hey, help me come up with some more based off of what you've analyzed. There's a lot of ways you can do that. I mean, I basically took like the five top podcasts that I had that I wanted to do, took the transcripts, uploaded them in there, and then was able to kind of create some booking emails that I was going to start using. But I've just been too busy with just, you know, people that I found on social media that I haven't even been able to start using those. But some pretty cool things that you can do with it. And ultimately, it comes down to what you talked about, because I did the same thing when I first started. I didn't like it because I was like, the output suck. It doesn't speak in my voice. Like, I didn't know how to basically program it, prompt it, whatever you want to call it. So there's some ways. And, you know, I guess a little shout out, I am dropping a video on Monday, which by the time this podcast drops, it's been there. So go to the Loans On Demand YouTube channel. There's going to be a ChatGPT training that will probably blow people's minds, because you really, I mean, this is a lot of things that I've learned, is like, you have to ultimately train it on who you are, right? Talk about the business, what your business name is, you know, give it like the pains and the desires of your market, you know, like little things like that, frameworks for like TikTok videos. You need to have a framework. You need a hook. What's the hook? The hook is like the very first part of the video that's going to get people enticed. So you tell it, hey, follow this framework. I want to teach you the framework to do viral TikTok scripts. Mm-hmm. So, you do a hook, body, call to action. And you tell exactly what it should be in each of these sections. All of a sudden, the outputs get way better than they're just generic outputs. So thinking about it from that perspective, like, you have to train it to get the outputs. The problem with it is, if you don't know what a good TikTok is, you don't know what a good hook is, you don't know good marketing, you're just going to think it's good. So like, my suggestion is, you got to get good at copywriting. You got to get good at understanding what a good TikTok is. Most people are doing, hi, my name is Luke and I'm a mortgage broker. Da, da, da. And you've already lost the consumer, or you've already lost the person viewing, because you talked about yourself for 8 seconds and no one cares about you. They care about, what is it in it for me? Right. So again, just some of those things there. It's like, AI is a little scary because it's going to just have people putting out crappy content because they don't know what good content looks like. You know, that's the scary part to me.
Yeah, it's not going to be smart enough to turn crappy content into good content.
So. Well, and people need to know, the difference between good and bad content. So I have done a lot of studying for copywriting. I've written social media posts for years. So what I was able to do is, I was able to upload my own version of all of my posts that I had done, say, hey, emulate this, and just basically do something like, hey, what did you notice about the way you wrote it versus the way I wrote it? You know, what can I tell you to write exactly like I do? And over time, it got better. What I found was Claude just did a lot better job right out the box, without needing all that additional prompting. So I started using Claude a lot more for that type of style posts. But there's an unlimited chat bots that you can build with AI that literally has good conversations back and forth. It takes a little bit of work, but you can do it. Yeah. There's an endless possibility, man, with AI. And there's people that are much, 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 much smarter than me that are doing crazy things with AI. I'm just using the products right out of the box, but some people are programming their own bots, things like that. I have a buddy who created his own, basically like, underwriter, right? So kind of like what you do with the GPT, but just better, right? He built it into the back end of OpenAI, and he has like all of the guidelines uploaded for Fannie, Freddie, all that kind of stuff. So it's like pretty legit almost every single time. And you can kind of train it over time to get better and all that kind of stuff. So again, there's an unlimited amount of ways that you can use AI, and it's pretty exciting, but kind of scary at the same time. It is what it is. So I like to sort of like closing these podcasts out with some sort of strategy, tactic, something that loan officers can go out there today, or let's just say you were getting started again today. What would you suggest a loan officer to go out there today to try to get business basically as soon as possible?
So this is something I did just a couple of weeks ago that had pretty good success. And it seems basic, it seems simple, but I searched some real estate agents using Redder. You can use MMI, Modex, Redder, whatever one of the softwares you want to look up, agent production. And I found some agents in different counties that had a certain number of buy sides in the last 6 months and last 12 months. I was really focusing on those where I saw like they didn't have as much in the 12 months as they did the 6 months. So they're more up and coming, right? You know, if you try to send a cold call or email blast, whatever, to like a top agent, hey, they already have someone, they're established as someone,
right?
I don't care who you are. They're maybe not going to respond to it. But if you can do an analysis, pull like two spreadsheets, maybe ChatGPT can help with this. I did try to ChatGPT and I had too much data. So I'm trying to figure out how to do it in AI. But if I take a 12-month list and a 6-month list and I say, point out to me the names that appear, you know, they have more per month on the 6-month list than they do the 12-month list. That shows me someone who's in an uptrend. And then I messaged those people and I just said, hey, you know, sorry for the random friend request. I sent them friend requests.
And so
then,
social.
Yeah, social. And then waited for them to accept. I came back 2 days later and like saw who all accepted. So I sent maybe 10 friend requests, got maybe 10 accepted, maybe 8. And then I sent those ones messages and said, I was pulling some production data. You know, I saw you're one of the top ranked realtors in the county. You know, great job. Sorry for the random friend request. I just like to be connected with other top performers in the area. I assume that we'll probably run into each other sometime sooner or later on a transaction, whether the same buyer or a different buyer or something like that. And I got really good response from those. Three of them were like, oh, where'd you get that list from? Like, especially if they're newer, they don't really know where to find the production. They're like, oh, how high ranked was I? They may not realize like they were number 6 in the county in the last 6 months because they're like such a new realtor. They may not know how high they ranked. So I then scheduled a follow-up Zoom meeting with them. I'm like, let me show you. I'll log you in. Like I logged into my Redditor and like typed their name, like showed them their production and showed them where they ranked. And like that just built me a couple new relationships that I didn't really have. And so now I'm trying to foster those relationships. So that's probably a good way to like just filter, find kind of this target audience, you know, using some data and then try to connect with them and, you know, continue to progress them through that sales process of like building this relationship, giving them some value and see if you'll be a good fit to work together.
Man, I love that. That's a unique one that I haven't heard so far in terms of that. Because I mean, you talked about earlier, like you worked with people that are more up and coming. And what most people try to focus on again is sort of the top producers and all those guys are getting hit up by everybody. And the other thing too, is like some people are like, well, I don't want to work with a new agent. I'm like, well, you don't know if that agent's going to be the next, you know, big thing. Right. And so I like the way you did that with the 6 versus 12 months, because that really does show who's actually growing in this market. Because a lot of people, man, you pull up their 12 or 14 month, you know, production and they look pretty good. But then you look at the last 6 months, you're like, oh, maybe not so much. Right. Like they had kind of a bump over there still towards the end of, you know, 2022, they were still kind of doing decent business, but 2023 kind of kicked them in the teeth. And so they may not have adjusted, or they may still be, I mean, unfortunately in this market, a lot of people just hoped that it would change and they hoped that the rates would come down and they hoped that the inventory would stop and they didn't really change the way they were doing business.
Yeah.
And honestly, I feel like the people that got affected the least by the downturn have been the people that were consistent on platforms like social media, especially loan officers, because a lot of loan officers got sort of stuck with the fact that they only had 5 or 10 agents that they worked with. And while that worked really well in everything up until 2021, it didn't really work in 22 and 23, because all of a sudden those 5 agents are down 60% in their production, which means you're down 60% in your production and you have nowhere else to get the deals from. And so, I mean, one of the things that I talk about all the time is like, you need to have a consistent way to get business. If you want to be referral only, again, I'm a marketer, I love referrals. You need to have a systematic way to get more referrals. How do you do that? You need to have more conversations with more real estate agents regularly. Stop depending on 4 people. I mean, unless you just, you know, want to be up and down and not have any control of your business. But I don't know. My recommendation is always be reaching out to new real estate agents.
Yeah, I'm constantly replenishing my pool of agents, because some of my agents who were my top producers 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago, they're not anymore. Like they're doing more listings, or they just not hustling, or they get so much rev share from their brokerage. Like they don't need to do deals anymore.
Right.
So I got to always be adding more agents.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So if someone wanted to learn a little bit more about you, connect with you online, what's the best place for them to find you, man?
Connect on social. I'm most active on Instagram and Facebook. My Instagram is at Chief Loan Officer. Facebook, you can search my name, Tyler Hodgson. And I'm on LinkedIn and TikTok as well, but primarily Facebook and Instagram is where I do most of my best content, I feel like. So I encourage everyone to just, hey, if you want to learn social, like watch what other people are doing. If you're seeing posts and you notice you like them and you interact with them, like watch what I'm doing and just copy what I'm doing. Copy any of my posts if you want to.
Right. Yeah. Well, and what I'll say is this is like, also when you first get started with something like social is don't expect the same results, right? Like maybe you got 30 comments or whatever, you know, 40 likes on a post, but it's like the truth is you've been building the consistency. You've been building sort of that reciprocal relationships with people by engaging with their content over time. And so thinking that you can just put up a post pretty similar to what Tyler put, you're going to get crickets mostly, but it's okay. My big takeaways from today was obviously we had a lot of sort of value bombs in here, but it came down to consistency in video, consistency in speaking in front of people, consistency in social media. Like all of this stuff comes down to consistency over an extended period of time. And that's when people win, right? It comes down to doing the fundamentals over and over and over again. And I know that sounds unsexy, but that's the hack.
Can I add one more thing that like,
yeah, absolutely.
We didn't mention this the whole time, but I just thought of it. And like, when we were talking about social media, we were talking about content creation and what are you posting? And like, to me, that's only half of my social media strategy. The other half is me engaging. So you can't just get on social media and just post and like engage with everybody else. Like, Luke, you're great at this. Like, you're always commenting on people's stuff. You're sharing stuff. You're responding to the people who commented on your comments. So just as much as I know I need to post a certain amount of times per day, I also have to log on and like comment on people's stuff. And I just see it and scroll. It's like, if I see it and I stop and I read it, I'm going to comment. And I try to get somewhat decent comments. So don't forget, it's not just posting. It's also engaging with those people as well.
Yeah, 100%, right? The infamous post and ghost that people talk about, right? Is like so many times we think that, oh, we just post and like, and I see people like, you know, and I get it. Like sometimes you kind of get busy and stuff, but some people like just never respond to comments. And I'm like, who do you think you are? Like these people are commenting on your post and you don't respond to their comments ever. Like, I get it. Sometimes you're not going to respond to every single comment, but like, I just think that's disrespectful to people most of the time. Unless it's like a congratulations. I don't always have to go through like, you know, thank you to like 500 people that said that, right? It's just like, all right, this, I'll just love your comment. Love your comment. Love your comment. But yeah, I agree, man. Engaging with people. I mean, that's the way you build relationships. You don't build relationships by just posting and, you know, being on your high and mighty horse. I just post content and I'm a content creator, but I don't, you know, respond to people. Maybe at a certain level you can get away with that, right? If you grow to a certain point where you really don't have capacity and you're going viral every time or whatever, but that's not what's going to typically happen in the mortgage industry. So, yeah, be consistent and engage, man. So thank you so much for your time today, Tyler. That was a fantastic episode. And for anybody who is listening that is interested in flipping the status quo on real estate agents, go to flipthestatusquo.com. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Thank you for tuning into the Loans on Demand podcast on loansondemandpodcast.com.